Welcome to The Scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I'm joined by Andrew Buckner. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Give me just a little bit of background on what you do, because you kind of do all the things, but music specifically.
So I play lead guitar for Caleb and Leanne, a new country duo here in town. Leanne is... just one of the best singers around here, and so is Caleb. He's an incredible guy. So I do lead guitar with them, and then I write, record, and perform instrumental mandolin and guitar music of my own.
How did you get started?
Very clear memory. I was 13 or 14, and we were coming home from school with my dad, and I heard Tears in Heaven Unplugged by Eric Clapton, and I thought, I don't know what witchcraft that is, but I want to be part of that coven someday, and it's never stopped. The acoustic guitar and acoustic music and music in general just grabbed me from that moment forward.
That song, I mean, I can completely understand it because, like, even now I'm having memories of it. Just, like, you saying that and probably going to start crying.
But, it's incredible.
So how did you train yourself? Did you take classes?
So for the first few months, I trained myself, and I was near tone deaf. If my parents were here, they would vouch for this. when I was maybe 15, I started taking lessons with an incredible teacher named John Fox, who at full circle, I've actually got to play live with him as an adult recently. He's an incredible bass player and teacher. He ended up doing A&R for Sony Records, actually. Has had just an incredible music career. But he was my first guitar teacher, and he just really opened up the world to me to think about playing in a very musical way. He's just a musical, loving, creating, warm man who's super talented. So from there, I took what he taught me, and I continued to study on my own. I studied through college with Doc Stone at Tennessee Tech. He was their professor of guitar, and he was an Opry player. He was an Opry guitar player for 7 years in a row, so he was this incredible fingerstyle guitar player. And then after that, I studied online with Brian Sutton, who's like a bluegrass, Americana, folk kind of guitar god. And I studied with him, and then I've just continued to this day. I'm working on new fingerstyle stuff right now, going through a new book. Yesterday is when I started one, so it's just been a lifelong and will continue to be a lifelong pursuit.
I love that. That's what it should be. Like, always keep growing, always keep learning new things and getting better. I love that. And then you started writing, which there's such an art to that.
Well, yeah, it's another way of expressing who I am. And I've always written from the time I was a young boy. I was writing short stories and creating, characters and superheroes and monsters. And then through college, I did interdisciplinary studies. So I did music and journalism. I spent 5 years working for the Herald Citizen doing sports journalism, and then I was a script writer and narrative creator in Knoxville for a videography company called Always Abounding. During that time, I wrote about the Vols for Fox Sports. I'm a big Vols fan, so I wrote about them, and I just wrote. I've just been writing a lot over the last 4 years. It's just a daily thing, and now I'm doing Cookville Lifestyle Magazine, and we're finishing up this edition, and it's been so challenging and so fun and so rewarding, and I've really got to push myself as a writer. So, yeah, they're very closely related to me, and my brain works in a really similar way when I write and when I play. It's all an outlet to express kind of what's going on inside of me.
So did you do a lot of tortured, terrible poetry when you were, teenage years? Because I'm not saying I did that, but I definitely did that and found some recently, and it was horrifying.
Luckily, I dodged that bullet. I wrote some songs in college, and my professor who I did the project with, Steve Fry, an amazing guy, he found that project and gave it to me, and man, there's some rough stuff on there. But no, I let other artists do the tortured poetry. I was listening to Dashboard Confessional and Jameson Parker and Say mm-hmm. Anything and just, wailing in a car alone. I let them do the tortured writing for me.
One of my songs that I wrote was called Hey Crying Emo Boy. So,
what was it about?
I don't know. Perhaps a sad emo boy. And I told him that if he fell in love with me, then we could smile together. It was beautiful. It rhymed. It hit every part of my 2004 black hair, black eyeliner heart.
Oh, I love it.
And then looking back, I'm like, oh my God, it makes me want to vomit a little bit.
Well, you know what? That's what's cool about art, though, is like, I guarantee you, if you took Paul McCartney and let him listen to Revolver, he would be like, man, I really liked how I played bass, but I would approach it differently now. That's what's really cool about evolving as a human being and a creative is, like, ideally everything you look back on will have a little element of cringe to it.
100%. We'll be right back on The Scene with more with Andrew Buckner. Welcome back to the scene. I'm here today talking to Andrew Buckner. So as you're writing, where are you getting some of your inspiration from?
Well, I talked to Catherine Weisinger about this when I was on her podcast, but I found 2 or 3 years ago that story is the most important thing to me in the world, whether it's a musical story, a written story, film, a piece of art, whatever. So the first thing I look for is some entry into the poignant and the compelling and into who the person, the business, the abstract idea, whatever it may be, to find a way to make that resonate with readers. And I rush to a rough draft. I try with everything in my power to get to a workable rough draft. And from there, that's when I really feel like I start to write. I can take this rough piece of marble that almost looks like a person and try to get it into a finished statue. So I start with story. I think, how can I make this compelling? How can I make this moving or funny, whatever tone it needs to have? And then I start trying to refine it and never get it to where I want it, but I get it to a point to where I can release it and be okay with it. And that's kind of how I end with it.
So you're a perfectionist, but kind of a lazy perfectionist.
I'm a seasoned perfectionist who has learned the pitfalls that go along with that. And I force myself to be a reluctant, almost perfectionist.
100% understand that. Having done my first gallery show last summer, at some point I was just like, stop editing. Like, It's fine. Everyone's going to love it. It's going to be great. But
yeah.
But I could just like bring this out. No, stop.
Your work is so beautiful too. It's getting to a point to where you know that you're going to kill it. Like, you're going to kill the art before you if you don't step away from it, you know?
Yes.
You have to look at that gorgeous photograph that was gorgeous before you touched it. And now it's even better, and you've enhanced it, and you've edited it, and you've put your spirit into the editing. But like, you know that if you spend too much time with it, it's going to be hard to look at that photograph in the same way. And that's how music is. It's, you labor over it, and you labor over it. And inevitably, like I said earlier, 5 years later, you see something you want to change. But that's great. You were working with what you had at the time, and you were doing your best at the time.
I love that. And then like, I'm sure it's the same as like looking at the same photo over and over, like, hearing yourself play the same thing over and over, you probably, like, you get sick of it. Like, I just have to move on.
Well, what's interesting is with our Caleb and Leanne sets, I purposely leave a lot of it to improvisation. I have a lot of written parts that I play, some solos that are written and some lead lines that are written, but I leave a great deal of it to improvisation to ward off the very thing you just described as an insulator to my art and to the love, so that I have an element of surprise and intrigue and hopefulness and, let's try this idea. And if it fails, then let's do it again and again and again, and it won't feel like a failure after the third time I play that. It'll feel like it's on purpose, you know. And so you're learning. It's almost like, for me, a live show is a practice at the same time. I'm getting to know the music more intimately and learning through successes and mistakes on stage, and leaving room for improvisation helps with that. Do the same thing with writing. I find ways to insulate the art and to keep it precious to me. I'm really careful about what I read and how I devote my time to reading, and about like what I consume from video and music and podcasts. And I'm really selective, intentional about like what I let my brain focus on, because I feel like all of it kind of finds its way into whatever I'm creating, good or bad.
I can understand that for sure. That's really interesting. That I feel is something I need to do, because I think a lot of creatives, we all hit that point at some time in our careers while we're working on the things we love. We hit that point of, I need a break, or I need something different. And so, like, for me, it's really not that hard, because with photography, I can be like, okay, I normally do nature. I'm going to go try and shoot pictures of people. But for some people, it's a lot harder to come up with something different. So it's really interesting. So you improv during live shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it ever like really just shock the heck out of Caleb or Leanne? Like what you do? Or
I don't think so, because I say I improv within parameters that I've built for myself. So I have like a tonal or a creative soundscape that I'm going to work in, and I play within that playground that I've created.
Gotcha. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Andrew Buckner. You're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Andrew Buckner. So you talked about some of the things that inspire you as you're writing, and I know you just released a new instrumental album. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in 2017, I did an instrumental mandolin record. It was just a solo mandolin record that was meant to be listened to when you drive or over coffee or after kind of a hard conversation. It was called Coffee and a Good Book. So I wanted to do the same thing with acoustic guitar, and so I did Coffee and a Good Book, Volume 2. It's mostly original instrumentals. It has one cover song on it, but it's just single guitar track, very little overdubs or corrections, played without a metronome. So it's like you're in a room listening to a guitar, and it's just meant for reflection and to help you process things, whether it be grief or excitement or whatever it may be. And so it's a little 5-track EP. It's on Spotify and everything if you want to listen to it. But just a very intimate, minimalistic guitar project. And it's the goal is to continue releasing these throughout my life, is to try to do as many volumes as I can. So, yeah, that's kind of the story behind that.
And I love the name of it because it just, like, it's so cozy.
Yeah, yeah. And Emma Crabtree, that owns Glass Tangerine, did the artwork for it for me. And so she was
I think
it needs to be a cozy summer read, you know, kind of thing. Like, you're reading a book in the summer and it needs to be cozy and comfortable. And I was like, I'm with that. So I've got some more projects in mind. I've got some singer-songwriter stuff that I want to release in that series. That's kind of how I started out, was as a singer-songwriter. And so I want to release some of that, and I want to do some more mandolin stuff, maybe some electric guitar. I just have a lot of things that I'm wanting to do in this series, so we'll see how they turn out.
So do everything. What's stopping you?
A jack of all trades, master of none.
The ghost of the West Side, as you called yourself earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm not haunting Soulcraft
after a glass tangerine.
Yeah, or Plenty. Plenty's become a new place where I float around. So
place.
No, it's incredible.
It's all my favorite places. Everywhere on the West Side is my favorite place at this point.
Me too.
And Caleb and Leanne just had new music come out, right?
Yeah, we just released four singles. So they were all produced by Keith Segal, who is the producer for all of Alan Jackson's hits. He did every single number one of Alan Jackson, and he also was the guy who did Zac Brown's Grammy record. So he is a kind of a legendary multiple Grammy winner, Nashville producer, and he produced four tracks for us. Three of them are original tracks, and then one was an outside write, and the last one, Mostly Whiskey, which was a song that Caleb and Leanne wrote with two incredible writers named Neil Cody and Brian Mayer, just come out this last Friday. Seems to be being received really well. So we're kind of excited and hopefully going to be recording new music soon and just moving forward.
I have that on the pre-save on my Spotify, but now that I think about it, I don't know that it's come up yet in my rotation, so I'm going to have to go. But She Drives, oh man. The first time I heard that, I was just like, okay, well, I'm dying. I'm just going to cry now.
That's a cool song. And that's the one outside right that was written by Marla Cannon Goodman and Chuck Wicks, two incredible songwriters. And it's just one that the producer found for us and just fell in love with. And it's a really great song and people love it live.
Yeah. Well, and their voices, I think, just what they add to it. Because, I mean, Leanne, I think she has one of the best voices I've ever heard in my life. I think her voice is just incredibly beautiful. I remember seeing y'all play at Harper's, like,
oh yeah, the grand opening,
like forever ago, and I was just like sitting there like, oh my, this is Cookfell, what is happening?
Yeah, they're an incredible combination, and she's one of my favorite. I mean, they both are, but she's just this humble, kind, hardworking, incredible singer, and I'm really excited to record some more full-length records that really show off her as a lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
These tracks really showed her as a complimentary voice and a great harmony singer, but man, she's an incredible lead singer, and we've got some originals that we've written that really showcase what she can do, and I think people are going to love it.
So we'll keep watching for them on Spotify under Caleb and Leanne.
Yep.
And we can find your stuff under Andrew Buckner on Spotify.
Yep, that's perfect.
Awesome. Well, I see you have your guitar. Why don't you play us out?
Sounds great.